All those who believe in God and understand the Bible should rejoice in the fact that they live in the Christian dispensation. And by Christian dispensation, I simply mean the period that was brought about when Jesus died on the cross and resurrected from the dead, when Christ became the Savior of mankind. All people interested in the proper division of God's Word should realize that God has not always spoken to man through His Son. The inspired writer declares in Hebrews chapter 1, the first two verses, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Consider these simple yet all-important divisions. There have been three dispensations under which God has used not only a different method of speaking, but has made different laws and commandments binding upon mankind. These three periods of Bible history are the patriarchal, the Jewish, and the Christian ages. A study of these in detail would do much to clear away the debris that confuses people today in their study of the Bible. God does not contradict Himself and does not create confusion. What we need to do is to find the part of God's law that applies to us and then strive to be obedient to that law. To illustrate how God's law has changed, there was a time under the law of Moses that animal sacrifices were commanded. They were necessary for those people. We do not do this today, for God's will has changed. And Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The first era in biblical history is called the patriarchal age. For it is in this period that the earthly father is priest and head of the family. God spoke directly to the fathers like Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and others, and gave them His instructions. The word P-A-T-E-R, that prefix, means father, and that is why we refer to this age, this time, as the patriarchal age. This period was ushered out for the Hebrews, and for the Hebrews only, at Mount Sinai, where God gave, by the ministry of angels, the law, commonly called the Law of Moses. I want to point out here that the Mosaic Law, with the tables of stone upon which the Ten Commandments were written, never applied to the Gentile people of the world, and do not apply now. They were for the Israelites, the Jewish people, and them alone. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he tells us its use. He describes it to the people who lived under the Mosaic Law. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 through 29, Paul wrote, Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The law was the Jews' tutor, which was to last until Christ came to this earth, bled, and died. Paul declares to the Jew that they're no longer under the law or the tutor. And he tells us why. Listen again to verses 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. A man-made church that brings men and women today under the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, we see is pleading for them to live under the tutor instead of being in Christ Jesus. The law was given on Mount Sinai to the tribes of the children of Israel and to them alone. It never applied to the Gentile people of the world. The Ten Commandments were the oasis for that Mount Sinai law and did not apply then or now to any Gentile race who ever walked the face of the earth. The third era or period is the Christian dispensation. This is the age of the New Covenant, the New Testament. It began on the day of Pentecost as recorded in Acts chapter 2. It could not begin until Christ died on the cross. Listen to what the inspired writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 9 verses 15 through 17. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressors under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also be of necessity the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Any man who thinks that the New Testament could or did begin before the death of Christ on the cross needs to master this little lesson on the wheel. Paul is clear and definite. The testament is not in force until the testator, that is, the maker of the will, dies. The blood of the Son of God sealed his covenant, or testament, when it was shed on Calvary's cross. Let me pause here to make an observation, that to many seeking heaven on the same ground as the thief crucified with Jesus, you're under the wrong covenant. You need to move on to the new covenant. Furthermore, the New Testament could not become a force until Christ ascended to the Father. We can know this by the Apostle Paul's statement that he wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, which reads, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." We see then that God's power, the gospel, as stated in Romans 1 and verse 16, could not be made known until two more events took place. These two events were the raising of Christ from the dead and then the seating of Christ at God's own right hand. If we try to make the new covenant enforced before the resurrection of Christ, we do not have a Savior, for he has not yet broken the bonds of the tomb. And if the new covenant is enforced before he is seated, it is enforced without the authority of God, for he has not yet established him at his own right hand. Thus far, we have learned in this study this morning that there are three dispensations of time in the Bible: the patriarchal age, the Mosaical age, and the Christian age. We are now under the Christian age, and we are subject to the commands of the New Testament. The New Testament, which we will be judged by. Now we come to the question of when was the gospel first preached to man, and what did it consist of? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 7 through 10, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." Let us notice some lessons from this. Number one, the gospel was ordained unto our glory before the world began. Secondly, the gospel was not made known in other ages. Thirdly, God has revealed it by his Spirit. And number four, it is the revealed revelation of God which the apostles spoke. The gospel of the living God is not of sudden origin or mere afterthought with God, but was planned by God himself before the world began unto our glory. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7 states, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory." Is it any wonder that Paul warned the churches of Galatia in the first chapter in verses 8 and 9, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, So now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. God planned salvation from eternity's dawn with his wisdom and love, and yet man today thinks it makes little difference what we believe or what we do in an effort to be saved. God planned many other things at the beginning of Earth's time. He has but one way to make the flower bloom in the spring, but one system by which the rivers run down to the sea. He has but one method of a watering of the earth, and but one way for the leaves to fall in amber colors when summer is gone. God is a God of arrangement. If he has but one way to make the rose burst forth in loveliness, and but one way for the sun to shine upon the earth, is it not then clear that he is a God of harmony and order? He would have but one way to make a man a Christian. He planned and worked out the glorious gospel before the earth was even born. Can any man change it today and be accepted by God? The wisdom of God would be demanding of his ability to plan and execute his gospel through his Son, and the justice of God would demand that the plan of salvation be fair to all, treat all alike, and give the same conditions to save all mankind. God does not command one thing of me and another thing for you. The gospel is for every race, creed, and tongue. Christ died for all men. Therefore, we are to obey the one gospel that is the very same gospel the apostles preached. Paul did not preach one gospel to the Gentiles, and Peter another to the Jews. These men devoted themselves to the faith delivered once and for all to the saints. Jude verse 3 says, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. To the many who think that the doctrine and commandments of the Old Testament are binding upon man today, let me say the things ordained for our glory were not seen in the Old Testament days, and the glad story of the gospel had not entered the heart of any man under the Old Covenant or the Old Testament law. These things were revealed in the New Testament, and that is why Paul declared in verses 9 and 10 in 1 Corinthians 2, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The point is clear. The things that had not been seen and heard, Paul declares to have been revealed unto us. The first time man ever heard the glad story of the gospel was in the New Testament age, the New Testament period, the Christian dispensation. The time was the third hour of the day, the place, the city of Jerusalem, and the speaker, the apostle Peter, and the rest of the apostles. And you find the record of this in the second chapter of Acts. At the close of the sermon by Peter on this historic day, after he had preached the gospel and declared the resurrection and ascension of Christ, 3,000 were pricked in their hearts and cried out, asking the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter answered to them and said, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. This was obeyed by 3,000 on that day, and these individuals had their sins washed away and became witnesses of the things ordained to their glory. This is Steve Peeler, evangelist for the West Main Church of Christ in Franklin, Tennessee. Thank you so much for listening to our radio broadcast.